Aren't the band sounding lovely today? Very nice. Scripture reading this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 14 to 21. It's entitled A Prayer for the Ephesians. If you're following in the blue book and not on the screen, it's 828. Otherwise, if you'd like to follow along, it's on the screen. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading this morning.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be home. I wonder sometimes whether we ever ask ourselves, why pray? Maybe we say, why bother? Maybe we say, but there's so much else to do. I had an incident on the holidays, which I would like to tell you about this morning, and I was in the midst of praying. Georgia, do not laugh yet. One of the roles of that I play on holidays is that I organise experiences or things for us to do as a family, and I enjoy doing that sort of thing and finding them. And one of them that I thought, Brisbane Festival, and we could go and look at all the lights of Brisbane. We could walk. That'd be good. Or we could segue. Does anyone know what a segue is? Oh.
It is.
So we went seg. I thought, can't be that bad. It went all right. So a segue is a balance contraption that is actually a weapon of mass destruction, I think. But you stand on this balance board and you hold on to handles for grim death, and you lean forward and it takes you forward. You lean backwards, it takes you backwards. Lean to the left, to the left, to the right, to the right. Well, that was all fine. It's almost like that song, you know, lean forwards, lean backwards, to the left, to the right. Well, I started singing that song just prior to being... No, we'll continue with the story. So we were going along just fine, and I thought, this is not too hard. I could do this. So you lean a bit further, right? And then think, you go a bit faster. I can go faster. I like fast. Let's go a bit faster. And that was going gangbusters. I continued to have the same speed for quite some time. Then we went downhill. And for those that know Brisbane super well, you come across the top of Victoria Bridge and there is a bike path that goes down underneath. That's a fairly steep hill. And it's a fairly solid landing. Because, you know, when you go downhill, you usually use brakes. Well, no, Wes, he just keeps going flat out, you know. And sometimes I think we press in and we get too confident in our own abilities. That's me. And next thing you knew, no, I'm good. And I kept telling myself I was good. And even when I was laying on the broad of my back, looking at the stars in the sky, Georgia, don't be compassionate, something. No, but I had been bagging on my daughter, which is not usually part of my makeup as a dad. I said to her, if you fall over, I promise you, I will tease you so bad. Well, Georgia and Logan seem to overachieve in the teasing dad so bad category for the next few days. In fact, I didn't get anything out of them for the rest of the night. They just laughed and laughed. What's the chances when your daughter's 30 metres ahead of you, what is the chances of anyone other than me that she would turn around at just the right moment? And I ended up on my back because I got too confident in my own abilities.
With a Segway going...
And I'm holding onto the Segway and it's... Thanks for leaving out the one piece of information I wanted to share. I'm holding onto the Segway, it's going flat out. And I'm holding it and the guy goes, I'm coming, I'm all right. I totally wasn't all right. But you tell yourself these things as well, right? So when we go on holidays from now on, I'm going to ask Debbie to increase my life insurance in case we do any other stupid things. Because, holy Moses, I just seem to be able to... If it's going to happen to someone, it's probably going to be me. But it got me thinking about that. Right, I'm not going to try parachuting because if I'm overachieving in that category, it's not going to end well. But it got me thinking about it while I've been on leave about this morning's sermon. And often I think sometimes we don't pray because I can do this. I've got it. I've done it before. I don't need anyone else. Right? We got the Creator God who flung stars into space and the words of his mouth light came into being. I can do this all by myself. I've got it. I don't need your help. I've got this. Even when we've crashed and burned and the Segway's going at 4 million miles an hour while we're holding on. I'm good. Don't need help. You have no idea how much easier it is to get onto a Segway when you do it with the person who designed the machine. Right? Instead of trying to do it on your own. Why don't we pray? Is it because we get distracted? Is it that we know we should, but we often don't? Do we get bored? Do we pray out of guilt? I think in the next 4 weeks we're going to look at prayer and praying. Paul shares 4 times throughout his letters, I pray so that. I pray so that. And this morning we're looking at we pray so that we can be strengthened in power. I think two of the biggest mistakes that I make, and I think if we were really honest, we all make from time to time, is that our prayers are A, too small, and B, my prayers are too general. Lord, bless them, be with me, help with the work that I'm doing. Now, they're okay, but I think it's a challenge for us to be really specific in what we're praying. Martin Luther was the father of the Reformation, and he had an assistant or a friend whose name was Friedrich Meconius. He was sick, expected to die very shortly, and Martin Luther was recorded as saying these words, I command you in the name of God to live because I still have need of you in the work of reforming the church. The Lord will never let me hear that you are dead, but will permit you to survive me. For this I'm praying because I seek to glorify the name of God. Meconius had already lost the ability to speak. He recovered and lived for another 6 years. Finally, he died 2 months after Luther. So there's 4 prayers that we're going to look at over the next 4 weeks. I prayed so that, and the first one is the one that we've read this morning. Now, let's put this into context for a minute. I prayed, for this reason I kneel before the Father, and I pray so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This is the same guy who, not long before, hated Christians. not just hated them, persecuted them, not just persecuted them, but actively pursued their downfall. And here he was wanting to strengthen them in power. In verse 14, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, for whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power." One of the things that I have issues with prayer is waiting. I expect the problem. One of the problems we have with the world we live in today is that we have emails. And like the world used to be, we used to have patience, didn't we? You know, you would send a letter in the mail and it would take, well, it depends on lots of things, but it would take some days to get from one place to the other and then the return would come. Now we live in a world of instant. We seem to have deleted this need or this ability to be patient. When I pray to God, I expect, like the world around me, that I'm going to get an instant answer. Anyone else in that category? And when God doesn't give the instant answer, we think, well, he's not listening to me, why bother? Anyone ever thought that? Maybe. And we text God our prayers, and we sit there expecting an answer. I used to have a divisional commander who you could absolutely, first time ever, it was amazing. You'd email and you could sit there and the response would come. Other people you email and you think, did they open it? Like, did it go into the ether? Did they receive it? You don't know any of those sort of things. But that moment of waiting, we sang this morning two songs that have that theme of waiting. Praying is okay. I can pray. Waiting? Nope. Anyone who works close enough with me knows that I like to do things yesterday. And I don't do waiting at all. So the Lord and I have lots of robust moments of fellowship because I want it to be yesterday. Right? When I pray and I ask God to intervene in the situation, like, by the end of the prayer is probably too long sometimes. I just want it to be now. I don't know why we would ever want to pray for a thing called patience, because I seem to think that it's a can of patience that you get off the shelf at the, you know, at the supermarket. You have to develop it. It's like a muscle. You have to develop the waiting sometimes. The other thing that I struggle with in my prayer life is that when I pray and God answers with, I give him such a finite way in which he can answer my prayer, that when he proves that he is sovereign and that he doesn't need me to make God, to make the world happen, and he answers outside of my small, tiny box, I think he didn't answer me. Anyone else ever been in that space? Maybe it's just me. What I don't understand is why I try to do it all by myself, get too confident in my own abilities, end up sometimes, by no fault of my own, sometimes because of my overconfidence, on the broad of my back, hanging on for dear life, and still say, I'm good, I don't need any help. And yet Paul shares here that it's out of his glorious riches that God wants to strengthen us with his power in our inner being. The new song that we had a number of weeks ago now, we had it again this morning, and there's a line in there that I just don't seem to be able to get past without getting a lump in my throat. And the lion says, you're working in the waiting. Trusting that even if I can't see what God is doing, that I've got the faith enough to know that he's working in the waiting. God is spiritually rich. And sometimes I think, for me, I live comparatively an impoverished spiritual life. And yet I don't go to the source of those abundant riches. I try to do it on my own. But we can go to him to receive power to overcome temptation, power to stand strong, power to be bold, power to repair despair. My nana once told me that when the world knocks you to your knees, boy, I always liked it when she said that. It made me feel so... It's like, I have names for my kids that I use. And so I was always boy. And when the world knocks you to your knees, boy, you're in the best position to pray. I don't seem to remember that anywhere near as often as I should. Strengthened in power to forgive. Strengthened in power to keep calm, like Jesus was in the midst of the storm. Have you ever been in a storm and been asleep? Not in a boat, you haven't. And yet Jesus was calm, that he knew that God had everything in control. He went to sleep. He was so at peace, he went to sleep. To have confidence, strength to have confidence when most people would say it's okay to not be confident in that space. To have peace, to have faith, to know what to say when nobody else does. Most people would know that one of my ministry opportunities here is as a chaplain with the fire brigade. And I have spent time in the last two the last two big events in our area, and I actually went in and came away and thought, I don't think I've actually made a difference here, right? Now, my role within those is really small and really... hopefully nobody notices that I'm there and I just go about my own thing. And it's only a small role. It's not I certainly don't have the authority to be removing people from houses or anything like that, and I don't want it. So I left both Canungra and Agaton and thought, gee, I don't know if I actually made a difference here. Because my small little part, would they have even noticed? I got a message yesterday from a firefighter who said to me, Wes, you turned up on both the times when it was going absolutely pear-shaped for me, and just knowing that you walked away, tapped me on the shoulder and said, I'm praying that you're going to make it today. Knowing that someone was believing in me when I didn't believe in myself was all it took. Sometimes words that we throw away, just our small little part that we play, is the missing piece in the puzzle. Nothing annoys me more than, and we talked about this last weekend at Kids Camp, nothing annoys me more than when you're doing a puzzle and there's one piece missing, right? It doesn't seem complete. Anyone else get annoyed by that? Whatever you've got to bring, you might think, oh, that's just such a small piece. But it could be the missing piece for somebody to see God's glorious riches. God's glorious riches. Maybe you think that your prayer for that person is so insignificant that it wouldn't matter if I didn't pray for them. And And I pray, Paul says, that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love, not just know of this love, or not just know someone who knows this love, but to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. One of the best prayers you can pray is for our kids. Pray that they experience the extraordinary love of God. Love is not just what God does, it's who He is. Sometimes I think, between distraction, getting overconfident in our own abilities, we don't come to the one who has infinite riches and trust him for the next steps. Maybe you join with me in being impatient in the waiting. Maybe you're expecting God to respond now. Maybe you've been praying the same prayer over and over and over and over again, and you just seem to be getting silence, or you're not getting an answer. Wherever we find ourselves in that space, I pray today and in the days ahead that you would experience His power out of His glorious riches. Charles Finney is quoted as saying that the Holy Spirit descended upon me in a manner that seemed to go through me, body and soul. I could feel the impression like a wave of electricity going through and through me. Indeed, it seemed to come in waves and waves of liquid love, for I could not express it in any other way. It seemed like the very breath of God. While I was on holidays, I went to King's Beach and we were swimming there. You could not see the undercurrent, but it was absolutely taking you. Sometimes you cannot see what God is doing, but He is taking you towards Himself. And now, we're going to sing in just a moment. And when we join together and sing, I wonder if these are words that you want to share with us, want to share with me. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. Yeah, I've tried to do it on my own. Maybe you are like me in riding that segue. Yeah, no, I've got this. We sing those words. I need thee every hour. We're going to put them together with this chorus this morning. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. So as we sing this morning, not just some of our day, not just the start or the end, but we need Him every hour. As we sing these words, maybe you have been desperately wanting God to break through in your situation. Maybe you've been praying and praying and wondering, did He even get my email? Did He even get my response? Maybe you, like me, have been too confident in your own ability. Whatever it might be, as we sing these words this morning, maybe this would be our prayer.